Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, August 8th, 2014. And with me today, I have... is it okay to call you guys my Brainiac team? Because in a sense, I almost feel outclassed on the intelligence scale today. And with that lead in, Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm sorry to disappoint. No, I'm happy to be here. This is great. I'm looking forward to this show.
I'm looking forward to it also. And the other part of the Brainiac team, John Martellaro, how are you, John?
Good morning. Yes, we have a treat this morning.
Well, whenever you're on, it's a treat. Really. Okay, so the first thing that I wanted to take a look at today is to be honest, this is very self-serving because I want to know more. So I figured, who better to be on and educate me, and then vicariously through me, all of our listeners would be you guys. And I really want to learn more about what's happening with IPv6 and how that affects us as Mac users, iPhone users, iPad users, and. And while I have an understanding of what IPv6 is, I'm betting there's a lot of people right now that are thinking, I have no idea what words just came out of Jeff's head. So if you guys could explain that too.
I set the stage, Dave? And then
go ahead, John.
Okay, when the internet was first developed, we had what's called the TCP/IP transmission protocol. And the transmission control part has to do with the retransmission of packets and the structure of the packets and so on. The IP part, the internet protocol part, has to do with addresses and the number of addresses and the nomenclature and how our machines communicate with each other in terms of addresses that eventually get turned into what we know as URLs and more human readable addresses. When the internet was first defined, they created 2 to the 32 addresses, which is about 4 times 10 to the ninth, 4 billion addresses. And that seemed to be a healthy number of addresses until the internet exploded, went public, and we started having the Internet of Things and every little device and iPhones and iPads and all these multiple devices had addresses. Plus, a large number of these blocks were kind of tied up in Class A addresses by the big universities and so on. So the little addresses that dribble down out to the users started drying up. So about 10 years ago, the Internet Task Force decided that it was time to develop a new addressing protocol. And just to be on the safe side, they developed an address scheme that has 2 to the 128 addresses, which in human speak is about 10 to the 38th. And just to put that into perspective, there's about 10 to the 19th grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. So imagine every grain of sand everywhere on the planet having a billion addresses to itself.
To itself.
Get an idea about how many addresses there are in the address space.
And that's IPv6, right?
Yeah, that's IPv6. So you no longer need, for example, NAT. Every device can have its own address.
Slow down. I think you're getting ahead of.
Okay.
I think you leapfrogged, right?
Okay. So that was the background.
Yeah. Okay. So as John said, every device on the internet needs an IP address. The way it has worked at your house and my house and most of our homes for forever is we get one of these addresses that looks like 207.58.16.32, right? And your router gets that address, and then that's the only real IP address that your house gets in most cases. If you know that you're getting more, well, then you're geeky enough to already
know
what IPv6
is. Right, because there aren't enough addresses to give all your devices their own.
So your router then shares that using a protocol that John said called NAT. As John pointed out, IPv6 comes up with a whole new addressing protocol that would give us plenty of IP addresses, so much so that we don't need to do this single sharing thing from our homes. And it's great. The idea is now, once we're all on IPv6, every device in your home gets its own full internet capable, internet accessible IP address. It doesn't mean that you need a firewall.
And that may bring up some security concerns because now that IP address is exposed to the internet. Here's the deal. If you had a billion supercomputers all scanning the address space looking for you, it would take more than the lifetime of the universe to find you in that 10 to the 38th address space. So you really do have security through obscurity.
Well, and there's more than that, right? So, but I think the important thing to point out is that there is no easy translation from IPv4 to IPv6. We essentially need to stop using IPv4, which is what everything on the internet uses right now, and start using IPv6. Now, if we all could just get together and say, okay, 3, 2, 1, go, then that would be great. But we all know that's not how things happen. So what's going to happen over time, and it's started already, is that computers on the internet and networks on the internet are going to run in dual stack mode.
Right. I was going to mention that next. That's important.
Yeah. Right, which is where you run both. And you can, depending on your internet provider, but in most cases, you can do this at home now. You may be able to do it direct with your internet provider, or you would have to use something where you tunnel to someone that can give you IPv6 addresses. Now,
does that mean for the average user, while we go through this transition, that they would essentially be running dual IP addresses for their network, one set of addresses for IPv4, and then individual device addresses for IPv6.
That's a big area of concern for a lot of home users. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because when you have a dual stack cable modem and router, what happens is that all your classical IPv4 address devices, you know, your Roku box, your Blu-ray player, your toaster fridge, all your IPv4 address devices in the house are still serviced by the IPv4 NAT service and then transitioned on into the internet. So if you have an IPv6 device like an iPhone or a Mac, then it will choose between the two, and we can talk about that later. But your other devices in the house will continue to get a DHCP private address, and they'll continue to work. So you don't have to worry about upgrading all your little devices in the house.
John, do you know what the timing is on when we will turn off IPv4? Has that even been decided yet?
No, I don't think it has. I think it's going to be running for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other problem I wanted to mention is that Mavericks includes this thing called Happy Eyeballs, which sounds cool, but it's not good. And what it does is that your Mac sends out a ping to the server and asks it which one it wants to use, IPv6 or IPv4. And if it gets whichever one it gets back fastest, it uses.
Right.
And some people don't like that and wish that Apple would turn that off and always use IPv6. But I think IPv4 will be with us for a long, long time, because as devices switch over to IPv6, the IPv4 address space will kind of free up a little bit. So the urgency will go away and a lot of legacy stuff will hang on.
Well, it'll only start to free up once we have every server on IPv6.
Right. Does the TMO servers
We do not run IPv6 yet. It's something that our hosting company has not yet implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they don't have all of their peering relationships on IPv6 yet. It's not as simple as them just installing the right router and updating the firmware and adding address space and just assigning them. Obviously, there's plenty of addresses. That's not the issue anymore. We haven't migrated yet, but we will as soon as we're able. There's no reason that we wouldn't or couldn't, and so we absolutely will. Sites like Facebook and Google, I upgraded to IPv6 this week on my network, and I'm a Comcast customer, and I believe this is true of all Comcast customers, but it's certainly here in the Boston area where I am in New Hampshire. They have turned on IPv6 on all of the CMTS nodes, which is the kind of the head end nodes that our homes connect to. So the other night I was interested and I just thought, well, let me look. So I went to Comcast6.net and it told me, great, your you're on IPv4, which of course I knew I was, but your CMTS supports this. Check here to see if your cable modem supports IPv6. And I went and I looked at the model of my cable modem and it said, you do. And I actually did all this from my iPad while sitting in bed. This is not advisable at all. I do not recommend that right before you go to sleep that you just choose to enable IPv6. But I did because that's how you roll.
And there's nothing you need to do on a Mac or a phone.
No.
If you're on a Mac and you go to your network preferences and you look at the TCP/IP tab at the top, you'll see your IPv6 address. It's a pretty long string. And you just leave it in automatic mode, and there's nothing you need to do.
So right. This isn't like an issue that the average user needs to worry about where in the next 2 years they have to just take every network-connected device they have and throw it out and start over.
Comcast has gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that you don't have to do anything and it's all transparent.
It took me 2 minutes. I went once I knew that everything I had was going to support this, I went into my router and I turned on IPv6 and I chose, and all Comcast customers would choose DHCPv6 with prefix delegation or PD. And that's what Comcast has done to make it easier so that you don't have to call them and get an address from them and go through this hokey pokey, which some providers do. And then I rebooted my router because that's how my router rolls in terms of adding that functionality. And when it came back up, I saw that my router had an IPv6 address. And so I went and looked in my Mac or my iPad. Actually, you can't see it on your iPad. So I went back to your iPad settings anyway. So I went back to Comcast6.net and it said you're connecting from this big long string that's your IPv6 address. Now, I know we don't have forever, Jeff, and I think we're going to talk more. We're certainly going to talk more about this on an upcoming Mac Geek Gab. I think it's going to be Monday's episode 514. But one thing, John, you pointed out correctly that when your Mac or even your iPad now has an IPv6 address, it is a real internet address, and that creates some security concerns. However, if you look on your Mac, you will see that your Mac likely has, if you go to, whatever your, once you're on IPv6, whatever your interface is, either Wi-Fi or Ethernet, you go into System Preferences Network and click Advanced on that interface, you will see that you have multiple IPv6 addresses.
Well, yes, that's an important point. Your Mac has a sort of an internal IPv6 address where your Mac address is folded into it.
Yep.
And that's something you want to keep pretty to yourself. But what the Mac will do is it will also generate what's called a public IPv6 address. And that kind of rotates around after 30 days or so. So it's constantly shuffled. So, you don't have to worry.
Harder to find.
Yes.
Yeah. Your quote unquote static IPv6 address is something that you can always be accessed by.
Yes.
But when connections are going outbound, your machine does not choose that address to advertise itself. It chooses one of these other transitory addresses. And I didn't realize they lasted for a month. I thought it was only like 3 days. And then it shuffles it around.
I looked that up. I wrote an article a while back called How to Obtain the IPv6 Address of Your Mac and iPad. And there's an app for your phone called IPv6 Toolkit. And it'll show you those addresses.
Yep.
Because the iOS settings don't do a very good job of showing everything.
No,
that's a gripe of mine. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll make sure that there are links in the show notes to those articles so that people can read more. We are almost out of time, but before we go, I just wanted to point out something that I thought it was really cool, and it's this auction that this former Apple employee is doing. And the guy's name, and this is so awesome, his name is Sam Sung, and he worked in Apple retail. And he's now auctioning off his employee shirt and his business card. And all the money is going to a charity in Canada. And he's already raised over $80,000 doing this.
So an Apple business card with the name Samsung on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that's
totally
awesome.
Legit.
Right, right. No, I get it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And he doesn't work for Apple anymore.
Sure.
Which is why he can get away with selling his shirt, because he doesn't need to wear it to work.
You mean he's been promoted to customer?
He's been promoted to customer.
Nice.
Yeah. So I just had to point that out, because I just thought that was so cool. And it's awesome that he's using that to raise money for a worthy cause, and is being so generous.
You know, what's fascinating about this is that people get a sense of charm about them. And it's not so much the value of the shirt and the card as it is the opportunity to contribute to a worthy cause. And there are plenty of people who enjoy doing that and have the money, and bless them. And that's what drives the price up. And I think it's wonderful.
Yes, yeah. I agree completely. And I just thought that would be an awesome note to end the week's worth of podcasts on. So thank you to both of you for joining me today and educating me and our listeners on IPv6.
What a geek fest.
Yeah, and it was awesome. When we talk about this on Mac Geek Gab, we'll go much deeper and we'll explain some of the things that you would need to do to get yourself there. But if your ISP supports it, or if you have Comcast and therefore your ISP likely supports it in your area, it's trivial. So it's kind of fun. I think. I don't know, but I'm a geek. So.
Yeah, me too.
But you guys are awesome geeks. Thank you, everyone, for interacting with me on Twitter about the show. I'm loving all the feedback. Please also go to the iTunes store and rate us there, because it's nice to see ratings for the show on the iTunes store. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and thank you, Dave and John, for joining me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jeff.